This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. President Trump is back at the White House after being treated for COVID-19 at Walter Reed Military Medical Center. AP correspondent Mike Gracia.
President Donald Trump returned to the White House Monday evening after three nights at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, where he was treated for COVID-19. The president spoke only briefly to reporters.
How many of your staff are sent?
Thank you very much.
The White House doctor, Navy Commander Sean Conley, said Trump will not be fully out of the woods for another week, but he met or exceeded standards for discharge from the hospital. But the extent of the outbreak at the White House remains unclear. Several senior staff members have tested positive, as have several people who attended a September 26th Rose Garden ceremony where Trump announced the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court. Mike Gracia, Washington.
The head of emergencies at the World Health Organization said Monday the agency's best estimates indicate roughly 1 in 10 people worldwide may have been infected by the coronavirus, more than 20 times the number of confirmed cases, and warned of a difficult period ahead. Dr. Michael Ryan speaking to a special session of WHO's 34-member executive board focusing on COVID-19 said the figures vary from urban to rural areas and between different groups, but that ultimately it means the vast majority of the world remains at risk. He said the pandemic would continue to evolve, but tools exist to suppress transmissions and save lives. Ryan said Southeast Asia faced a surge in cases. Europe and the Eastern Mediterranean were seeing an increase, while the situations in Africa and the Western Pacific region were more positive. Overall, though, he said the world was heading into a difficult period. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Leaders from France, Russia, and the United States issued a joint statement Monday urging a ceasefire between Armenia and Azerbaijan and the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. Representing the co-chair countries of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, Minsk Group, which is tasked with finding a peaceful solution, Russia and France's foreign ministers and the U.S. Secretary of State all condemned the violence, which began just more than a week ago. In a statement, the minister said the recent attacks constitute an unacceptable threat to the stability of the region. More than 40 civilians have been killed in escalating violence, with 20 more wounded and hundreds of houses seriously damaged in the violence, according to the United Nations. The predominantly ethnic Armenian territory, a formerly autonomous territory that sits inside Azerbaijan, declared its independence from Baku in 1991 during the collapse of the Soviet Union. It sparked a war that claimed the lives of as many as 30,000 people before a ceasefire was declared in 1994. However, peace efforts and the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict started again in 2010. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Tuesday hailed new Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga as a force for good and said that he believes that Suga will work to strengthen the relationship between Washington and Tokyo. Speaking at the start of his meeting with Japan's foreign minister in Tokyo, Pompeo said that he agreed with Suga that a free and open Indo-Pacific was the foundation of regional peace and stability. Suga, who replaced Shinzo Abe last month as premier, faces a tricky task of balancing the need to maintain working ties with bigger neighbor China and U.S. demands for a tougher stance. Human Rights Watch said Tuesday that hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children with mental health conditions are living chained up in roughly 60 countries. Without mental health support or awareness, families or institutions often shackle people against their will, leaving them eating, sleeping, urinating, and defecating in one small space. In the run-up to the World Mental Health Day on October 10th, Human Rights Watch's report documents through almost 800 interviews how people with psychosocial disabilities in countries like China, Nigeria, and Mexico can live shackled for years, chained to trees, locked in cages, imprisoned in animal sheds, and more. Find more at voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.